The Identity Services Matching Bill, currently sitting before Parliament, proposes the federal government have access to data such as photos from passports and driver's licences under a nationwide facial recognition system called the National Facial Biometric Matching Capability. Though active for years at a state level, the systems have received attention from academics and human rights groups alike, who believe its reliability as a technology known to breach privacy and discriminate are causes for concern if rolled out more broadly. Julia Carr-Cadzell has the story.
The Identity Services Matching Bill, currently at its second reading stage, has received a number of submissions from interest groups. Among them, Liz Campbell, Professor of Criminal Jurisprudence at Monash University, who has expressed concerns about the lack of an external overseer or commissioner to monitor the bill's progress.
The bill, as it currently stands, is really quite broad brush. It's defined in quite loose terms. Gives a lot of discretion to the relevant minister in terms of the scope of the sharing powers. It includes the private sector in being able to share these images as well, all of which to me seems far too broad when we're thinking about something that could have such negative impact on our privacy, but also on particular communities. There are not sufficient human rights safeguards and there aren't sufficient practical safeguards in relation to both the capability, which is going to enable sharing, and the database, which would hold images such as from our driving licences and so on.
In her own submission to Parliament, Liz expresses concerns about privacy, one of them being that individuals will not have the option to opt out of the system or control how their data is used.
So none of us, when we post something on Facebook or on another social media platform or get our driving license or our visa, for instance, have consented explicitly to that being compared with data collected from us, an image from a CCTV camera, for instance. So we need to be very careful that the state isn't overreaching into our private lives, essentially.
Alongside possible privacy breaches, Liz says the technology may even affect how we act at a social level.
So we may well see people feeling limited in who they're associating with, or maybe feeling limited in terms of political protest and so on because of this expansive mechanism of state surveillance that facial recognition technology enables.
Past incidences have stirred debate about the reliability of the technology and its algorithmic structures.
The algorithms themselves have been proven by research carried out in the US predominantly to be quite poor at identifying faces, as you said, of women and faces of people of colour, essentially. So there are more false matches when we're not talking about Caucasian male faces, essentially. And that means then there's more potential for miscarriages of justice, more potential for police intervention in people's lives on an incorrect basis, essentially. Certainly in the UK, we've seen huge rates of false positives, ranging from only 10% being correct to maybe about half of facial recognition technology matches actually being accurate when we have this manual oversight of it. So these are biases that are inherent in the algorithms as they currently stand. And because the algorithms are created by the private sector, they're patented, so there isn't this level of public transparency. So we can't get behind what's going on with these algorithms.
Despite these fears, there are benefits to facial recognition technology. The New South Wales Minister for Counterterrorism, David Elliott, says it would enable authorities to quickly identify a person of interest to help keep the community safe.
There are major benefits to this. So facial recognition technology could be used instead of a swipe card, for instance, to access like a secure location. It can be used instead of a boarding card. It's used in shopping centres. It's been used in sporting events, and that can be really helpful in terms of public safety in the counter-terrorism space and also in the migration context.
But Liv says the enthusiasm for the technology may have led legislators to overlook its potential downsides.
Even advocates of facial recognition technology use could not be content with the bill the way it is. That you see the technology developing, it's of use to the police and other entities. The law then is in a kind of a scramble to catch up. I think we need to be very cautious about what this bill would enable if it were introduced the way the text currently stands.
Liz Campbell, Professor of Criminal Jurisprudence at Monash University. Ending that report by Julia Carr-Cadzell.